I think y'all understand this, but at least for me, it's hard to know when not to speak. But it is important to make such decisions. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 11 and verse 12, the wise man says, he who is devoid of wisdom despises his neighbor, but a man of understanding holds his peace. In Proverbs 17 and verse 28, this is one we're familiar with, I'm sure, even a fool is counted wise when he holds his peace. When he shuts his lips, he's considered perceptive. It's the old saying, it's better to say nothing and be thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. We've said that many times. But there are some times when it's best not to speak. For instance, in the heat of anger, Paul warns us in Ephesians 4 and 26, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. And sometimes speaking without thinking can be dangerous. In James 1, beginning in verse 19, James says, so then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. And of course, it's never good to speak when we're out of control. James, that's over there. James 1 verse 26. If anyone among you thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. But there are many reasons why people in the Bible did not speak. And we must be careful, because it's easy to misunderstand that since they did not speak, well, what is there to hear? We need to study the circumstances carefully, and such a study might be able to teach us some valuable lessons. So let's look at some examples where no one spoke. The first I want to direct your attention to is Matthew 15. And I want to read verses 21 through 28. Matthew 15, verses 21 through 28. Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from the region and cried out to him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. But he answered not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away, for she cries after us. But he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. And she said, yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Jesus did not speak to this Canaanite woman at first. And the question is, why? Why didn't he speak? Well, it was not because he did not understand what her problem was. He even knew the thoughts of men, so he knew what she was thinking. And it was not because he didn't sympathize with her or care about her plight. Jesus had compassion on people in every circumstance. But it was because she asked him to do something he was not sent to do. Did you notice that? I was not sent, he said, except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Well, what can we learn from this? Well, we must be careful not to go beyond what God has authorized us to do. Notice in 2 John, beginning in verse 9, John says, whoever transgresses or goes ahead and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. Now, what do we have here? We have transgress and we have go ahead. That's the two, transgression, crossing over, and going ahead. And what is it in regard to? The doctrine of Christ. But he who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. Now he's explaining this a little more. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house, nor greet him. For he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. Not to transgress the doctrine of Christ. In this case, what she asked him was within both his power and with the work of God, although it was not what Jesus was sent to do. And some say, well, there aren't many good things that we're sent to do today. Well, I must have had that back over there. Oh, no, I didn't. There we are. I knew it was there somewhere. Many good things we aren't sent to do. Look, turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 and 18. Paul says, command those that are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to give and willing to share. Did you catch that? Rich in good works. Why? Well, according to Ephesians 2 and 10, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus, get this, for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We are to make good works a part of our everyday lives. And this would, of course, include seeing to the needs of brethren. We all are familiar with Matthew 25, I'm sure, verses 31 through 46, where Jesus says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory and all nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them as a shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. And the king will say to those on his right hand, come, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. And then the righteous will answer him and say, Lord, when do we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer to them and say, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me. Then he will say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. I was a stranger, and you did not take me, and naked, and you did not clothe me, sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. And they will answer him and say, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister to you? And then he will answer, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it not, or did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Now note, the subject of the kindnesses that Jesus talks about. Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren. Who's Jesus talking about? Well, there it is. Matthew 12 and 50. There it is. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. That's who he's talking about. Well, let's move along and see if we can find another one. Matthew 22 and verse 46. And no one was able to answer him a word. Nor from that day on did anyone dare to question him anymore. Why? Why? Well, turn to Matthew 22. There it is. And we'll begin reading with verse 15. The Pharisees went and plotted how they might entangle him in his talk. And they sent to him their disciples with Herodians, saying, Teacher, we know that you are true and teach the way of God in truth, nor do you care about anyone, for you do not regard the person of men. Tell us, therefore, what do you think? Is it lawful for a man to pay taxes to Caesar or not? But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, Why do you test me, you hypocrites? Show me the tax money. So they brought him a denarius, and he said, Whose image and inscription is on this? And they said, Caesar's. And he said to them, Render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. And when they had heard these words, they marveled and left him and went their way. They marveled. They'd never heard anything like this. Then in Matthew 22 and verse 23, the same day, the Sadducees, who say there's no resurrection, came to him and asked him, saying, Teacher, Moses said, if a man dies, having no children, and his brother shall marry his wife, raise up offspring for his brother. Now there were with us seven brothers. The first died after he had married, and having no offspring, left his wife to his brother. likewise the second also, and the third even to the seventh. Last of all, the woman died. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife of the seven will she be? For they all had her. They figured they had him pinned. And Jesus answered and said to them, "You are mistaken, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels of God in heaven. But concerning the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what was spoken to you by God, saying, 'I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob'? This, our God, is not the God of the dead, but of the living." And when the multitudes heard this, what was it? They were astonished. He astonished the Sadducees about one of their favorite subjects, the resurrection. They had nothing to say. Going on in this context to Matthew 22, verses 34 through 40 now. Should have told you to keep your finger there. But when the Pharisees heard that he'd silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing and saying, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Mark's account says that Jesus made the scribe come to agree with the answer about the greatest commandment. Notice in Mark chapter 12, verse 32 and 30 through 34, the scribe said, "Well said, teacher, you have spoken the truth. There's one God, no other but He, to love Him with all the heart, with all the understanding, with all the soul and strength, and to love one neighbor as oneself is more than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." And when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." Now look at this last phrase. "But after that, no one dared question him." He asked them a question, but they couldn't answer. Look at Matthew chapter 22. We're going to dip back to verses 41 through 46. Jesus said, when the Pharisees were gathered together, he says, "What do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he?" Now, there, of course, he's referring to himself, but they don't realize that. But they're thinking about Messiah. Whose son is Messiah? And they said to him, "The son of David." And he said, "How then does David in the Spirit call him Lord, saying, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool'?" If David calls him Lord, how is he his son? And no one, was able to answer him a word. Nor from that day on did anyone dare question him anymore. They said nothing. Why? Because they had nothing to say. Now, some lessons we can gain from this. We need to study carefully. We need to be able to answer the opponent's questions in a clear and sure way. The power of truth is astounding, to say the least. we should cause them to say nothing when they have nothing to say. The purpose of the scribes and the Pharisees was obviously wrong. But God give us the help to have the proper purposes in our discussions, that we bring about a good resolution and one that will bring glory to the Father. Well, how about Mark 3, 1 through 6? Mark 3, 1 through 6. Let me get back down here to that. There it is. No. There it is. Yeah. Reading from the New King James again. He entered the synagogue, and a man was there who had a withered hand. They watched him closely whether he would heal on the Sabbath so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man who had the withered hand, "Step forward." And he said to them, "Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill?" But they kept silent. And when he looked around at them with anger, being grieved by the hardness of their heart, he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored as whole, just like the other. The Pharisees went out immediately and plotted with Herodians against him how they might destroy him. Notice, he asked the Pharisees a question that they dared not answer. Why? Because any way they answered it, they were going to be in trouble. They knew it. But Jesus saw the hardness of their hearts. He knew they wouldn't give up their tradition that said healing was a work and they can't do work on the Sabbath. They couldn't deny his power, but they were inconsistent. In Luke chapter 14, in verse 5, Jesus said, "Which of you having a donkey or an ox that has fallen into a pit will not immediately pull him out on the Sabbath day?" They cared for their oxen. He knew what the answer was. But instead of them speaking and answering his question, if you notice on down verse 6, they later spoke maliciously. Now, lessons we can learn. We need to point out the inconsistencies of false doctrines. Traditions of men are inconsistent and false and not according to God's word. And don't respect the power of men, but the power of God and his word. Mark 9:32. They did not understand this saying and were afraid to ask. Well, what was this saying? Well, Mark 9:31, he taught his disciples and said, "The Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of men, and they will kill him, and after he's killed, he will rise the third day." Jesus was talking about something that scared them. They were afraid to find out more because, obviously, they didn't understand. Luke 9, verse 45. says they did not understand this saying. It was hidden from them. And they did not perceive it. And they were afraid to ask. I believe they were probably confused, really. That probably is a truth. But what can we learn from this? Well, I think we need to not assume that no question means complete understanding of a Bible student. See, how does that apply to my Bible class? Have no questions, and you assume everybody understands? Not so. In fact, when you're studying privately, you need to ascertain for sure that the person you're talking with understands. They may say, yeah, I understand. Understand what? Oh, what were you talking about? And you're not getting anywhere with that. What you need to be sure is that there's no confusion. Sometimes people are afraid to ask. They're afraid to ask. And because they suffer from confusion, sometimes God's word will be the answer if they just keep studying. And indeed it should be. But we move along. Man, what's going on? Anyway, Mark 9, 33, 34. He came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, what was it you disputed amongst yourselves on the road? And they kept silent. For on the road they had disputed amongst themselves who would be the greatest. Oh, no. Why didn't they answer Jesus? They knew that their dispute was over the evil, was of the evil one and not something Jesus would approve of. In Mark chapter 9 and verse 35, he sat down and called the 12 and said, if anyone desires to be first, he shall be last and servant of all. Then he took a little child, set him in the midst of them. When he had taken him in his arms, he said, whoever receives one of these little children in my name receives me. And whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me. They were ashamed of themselves. And maybe there's a lesson here for us too. In Romans chapter 6, beginning at verse 19, Paul says, I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. For when you were slaves of sin, excuse me, I thought, suddenly it jumped on me here. As you receive, for your slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. And what fruit did you have then of the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. Truth teaches us to be ashamed of all sin. We don't want to do things that we're going to be ashamed of. In fact, if we don't want others to know what we're doing, then don't do it. Because there's one thing sure. If nobody on the face of the earth ever sees what you're doing, your Father in heaven knows. And he's the one you're going to have to answer to. But for sake of time, we haste along. Matthew 26, 61 through 63. They were accusing Jesus. They said, he says, I'm able to destroy the temple of God and build it in 3 days. And the high priest said, What need do we have of any more testimony? But Jesus kept silent. The high priest said, I put you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God. And while he was being accused by the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. And then Pilate said to him, do you not hear how many things they testify against you? But he answered them not one word. He answered nothing. He held his peace. Why? Well, it was not because any charge that was leveled against him had any validity. It was because it was God's will. God's will. Well, how do you know that? There's how I know. Isaiah 53 and 7, he was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter and as a sheep before his shears is silent. So he opened not his mouth. Acts 8:32-35 says this very thing. And you know what was being done there? Philip began at that scripture and preached Jesus to the eunuch. Now, we need to consider God's will before we speak. Why? Well, it could be that our words might be destructive. So we need to be silent. Or our words might be contentious with no benefit to an argument for truth. When words might convey malice or hatred, we need to be silent. Sometimes words are useless because of the people we're speaking to. Like Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 6, do not give that which is holy to dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces. Or they might just be busybodies, wandering from house to house, gossiping and being busybodies and saying what they ought not. In Acts 11 and verse 18, after Peter related what had happened at the house of Cornelius, they became silent. But they glorified God and said, then God has granted to the Gentiles repentance to life. They became silent, but what? They listened to Peter. We know that because when he came up to Jerusalem and he was accused of eating with uncircumcised men, they heard the whole story. Then verse 18, the truth convinced them. Now, we can learn several lessons from this. Not to judge someone wrong until we hear the whole story. And we need to learn to be careful how we speak and how we hear. In Romans chapter 10, beginning in verse 9, Jesus inspired the Apostle Paul to write this, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. What's he talking about? He's talking about confessing what? That Jesus is Lord in Christ, just the way the eunuch did when Philip preached the gospel to him. But those who need the prayers of the saints also have something that they need to say. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 24, notice, I have sinned. That's what we have to first of all recognize. And then, like Job in Job 42 and verse 6, I repent. Now, the question is, will you obey him today? If you're outside of Christ and never have been added by the Lord to his body, which is the church, there's an opportunity presented for you. If you are a part of his body, but you have sinned, there's an opportunity presented for you to make the necessary steps to bring you back into covenant relationship with your God. Will you obey?